At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome to our podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Yeah.
This is Feelings and F-Bombs.
I feel like we should cheers because it's like a big deal. It's kind of cool.
That's right. This is nice.
Yeah.
And
so should we get a social media?
Oh, yeah.
Like we should get an Instagram or something.
Yes. Yeah. We have to make all the things.
And a TikTok?
Yes.
A Facebook?
No, not a Facebook. No.
Mm-hmm. This is step one and we're here.
Yes.
And that's good and important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the respect that I have for people that do this
and
make it look so easy.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe right now we probably look like calmer.
So put together.
We are not, people. We are not.
An hour and 40 minutes later.
Yeah.
Multiple laptops.
Multiple.
Microphones.
Yeah.
Cameras. Who knows?
Everything that could have gone wrong this first time went wrong. Someone that I really, really look up to in my life has, they gave me the best advice before I got married, and they told me that expect at least 5 things to go wrong, and I am so grateful for that advice, and also so pissed that I did not take that advice in for today.
That's just life advice.
That
was for your wedding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think within... If you hear the tippity taps,
should we address?
That's Roscoe. He is our, not co-host, but...
Mascot.
Yeah, he's our mascot. What was I? We were talking
the
about
five
that?
The five.
Oh, yeah. Right. So whenever I got married, like the day that we actually got married, and it was a surprise for a lot of people that day, at least like 3 things went wrong within the first hour of us actually doing things that day.
Can I pause you? Yeah. Are you looking at the camera?
Do I look at you? Do I look at the camera?
We have so many. Okay.
I think it might be more natural if we just look at each other the whole time. Do you think? Okay. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Break
but
the fourth
you kept
wall?
Looking and I was like. I couldn't pay attention to anything you said because I was like just really focused on that. Yeah.
So, the 5 things.
Yeah.
By the first hour, 3 things had gone wrong. Mm. And all I could think was, well, I have 2 lives left essentially. And I think like actually 4 more things went wrong after that point. Mm. But once I had gotten to the 5th thing and it was so early on in the day, it didn't discourage me
because
I was like, well, I think 5 things was being kind, or maybe like 5 things for a more traditional wedding. But since we had such a non-traditional wedding, I would imagine like you would just expect more things to go wrong.
That's still a good mindset to have though, because some people are like, it's going to be the perfect day. It's going to be a dream come true.
Right.
So knowing it's going to be minimum 5, it's like you already lowered that standard, so you're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
When that first thing happens, you're not going to freak out because you're like, this is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a good mindset to have. I mean, being in the wedding industry for a couple years, it was like,
that's right.
There's crazy stories.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's a good mindset to be like, realistically, this is not going to be the perfect day, and things are going to go wrong, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, should we actually introduce ourselves?
Yeah, I think so. And then...
like, who are we that are just talking immediately?
My name's Madeline, and Lexi thought that it would be helpful, or I guess good, to tell you guys that I am a licensed marriage and family therapist associate. However, none of this is going to be therapeutic.
Advice.
Advice.
It's not advice. It might be therapeutic. It
is maybe not. For you to hear it. But know that anything that falls out of my mouth is not me giving professional advice. It's not me giving you education. There may be some things that feel in line with that, but for the most part, this is our space, which, yeah. you know, is not a professional one. I mean, the podcast name is Feelings and F-Bombs, for goodness yeah. sakes. Yeah. So, that's a part of what I do, or things that I get to do. I'm also a trust-based relational interventions practitioner, and that's really cool and fun to life, I guess, to just apply those things to life. And I don't know, what else should we tell them?
I feel like that's good, and then we're mysterious right now.
Okay.
You know, we'll just drop little tidbits.
Right, I think
here
so.
And there.
Yeah.
Yeah. My name is Alexis, but everyone calls me Lexi, mm-hmm. but my professional name on the podcast is Alexis, so I needed to clarify. I have literally no right to be here either, even less rights, because I have no education in this space, no work experience. I am just here for vibes. And if you believe in astrology, I'm a Cancer Virgo.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I believe in emotions and healthy communication.
Yeah.
And I also very recently got out of a 12-year-long relationship. Mm. So I'm assessing my life and my relationships and who I am relative to them. So yeah. I think that's why it's like so interesting. It's always mm-hmm. interesting for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always been that way. I feel like you too, because we've always mm-hmm. gotten into like deep conversations yeah. about stuff like this. But
yeah,
I guess that's my, like, that's why it's perfect right now. Like, mm-hmm. you're interested, I'm interested,
yeah,
and it'll probably be more than just relationships. But I feel like even when we're talking about, like, the tea, or I don't even know, like, an experience we are processing, mm-hmm. it, like, comes back
yeah.
to, like, well, why would they do that? Or, like, mm-hmm. but how did you feel about that? Like, it always kind of,
yeah,
you know, circles back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is rooted in, like, relationships at the core.
Yeah.
No matter really what type of scenario. Like, it can be romantic, non-romantic, and it's still, at least in our conversations, it still always comes down to, like, a connection or an interpretation or, you know, yeah. a communication style.
Where are you in the moment when it happened?
Yeah.
Like, how did you process it because of your experiences? Like, it always, right. and why do you have those experiences? Probably because other relationships, like,
yeah.
really, relationships are like the meat mm-hmm. of life experiences, I think.
Oh, yeah, 100%. See, so you do have a right.
I have
You
a
have
right.
lived experience and...
thoughts in my head.
All in the dome.
That's my right, and yeah. I stand by that.
The dome.
Yep.
Is the right.
It's in the dome.
Should we talk about who this podcast is for and who it isn't for?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So I think for sure, like, little kids...
Yeah, no.
This isn't... Sorry, this probably isn't the space for you.
Yeah.
But should we talk about maybe people that, like, were nervous to watch this?
Ooh, okay.
Like, for me, I'm nervous for my in-laws. All of my sister-in-laws yeah. are cool as fuck. I'm really a little nervous for, like, my mother-in-law.
Okay, fair.
Both of my mother-in-laws. I consider my aunt-in-law another
Basically,
mother-in-law.
I think the rule is, if you don't want to picture us doing the deed...
Yep.
And you don't want to know all of the ins and outs of mm-hmm. that private life, do not watch.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of fair. So, like, mm-hmm. yeah, my parents too. Like,
yeah.
If you get to that point,
yeah.
there is a skip button,
mm-hmm.
use it.
And if you decide to not use a skip button, don't bring it up to me.
Yeah,
just don't.
That's your business.
Don't bring it up to
me. That's you and God.
I have stated my boundary.
Yeah. You did not respect it. That's my yeah.
But I think that's who I'm the most nervous. I'm really not nervous for my parents
okay.
to watch it. I've just always been, I'm better now, but I've always, with my parents at least, I've always told them exactly how I feel with no censor whatsoever. So I feel like you guys are probably going to get more of a flavor of how I am with my parents.
Yeah.
And they just shake their head in disapproval. So at least the good thing is I don't have to watch anybody do that.
Yeah. So that's that's their business.
Yeah.
That's not your problem.
Mm-hmm. So that's who I'm nervous about. Who are you nervous about?
I'm nervous about, I think, jobs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a career girly, you mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
It can be a little bit scary.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think that, because we kind of talked about this, and you were like, you know, you're the clients that you have, if mm-hmm. they end up seeing it, this is mm-hmm. your private life. So I think that's mm-hmm. where it's good to have the disclaimer. Everything we say... it's not a reflection on our jobs, our careers. It's just a
right.
personal,
mm-hmm.
it's just an outlet.
Yeah.
Like, to just be who we are mm-hmm. authentically. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's not for children. It's not for anyone who is maybe closed-minded. We might talk, we might touch on subjects, even possibly maybe. Like religion or, you know, like things that maybe for some people would be uncomfortable. So if you want to stick to your bubble and you're really happy with that, that's fine. No judgment, but maybe this isn't something for you. Anybody else?
You brought up work.
Yeah.
And I think because we're in different fields, we are both career girlies.
Yeah.
We're career girlies.
We're bad bitches.
That's right.
Yeah.
Boss ass bitches. But I think for me, if anyone, I don't know how this is going to sound, but if any of you out there, totally
straight
kidding.
Eye contact with it.
Bring to the camera. No, I think for me that if anyone from my job were to see this, even my boss, I would hope that they would ask me about it. So I know I just talked about my in-laws. If you have feelings, and I've already said, you know, past a certain point, don't bring them up. You know, if it's like what you said, you're imagining me doing a deed of some sort, don't bring that up to me for my in-laws. That still stands true. Maybe that stands true for my boss as well. Yeah. But for other things, not sex related, not my personal experiences, sex related, I don't know. I'd be cool. Maybe not cool, but I wouldn't mind if they asked me,
I think.
Because
you're open to stuff like that. Like,
I am.
You're really open to having conversations that might be taboo. I think me too.
Yes.
That's why we can have conversations so easy.
Yes.
Because nothing is off the table.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I literally told y'all the other day that I had a hemorrhoid. Like, I don't care. I literally said that out loud.
Yeah.
And I just said it again because it's like, I don't know. Anytime I go through something as small from hemorrhoid to life change, I'm like, if you just talk about it, there are people who are like, same. Like, I literally experienced that. It might not be literally, I have also had a hemorrhoid.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's a spectrum of people being able to relate, which I love.
Yeah.
Like, I love being like, oh, you're not alone. I'm not alone.
Yep.
And it's all like relatable, even if it's not exactly the same. There's something where people are like, oh, well, then let me tell you this. Like, I like that.
Yeah. I think I almost get satisfaction from both too.
Yeah.
Like, I get satisfaction from people being like, oh my gosh, me too. Cause there's that like aloneness part. But then I also almost get satisfaction from people being like, what the fuck? No, I've never experienced that. I'm like, oh my gosh, let me tell you about it in detail that you didn't ask for. And then for the most part, because I think, you know, I read the room, you know?
Right.
So I think like for the most part, people walk away, or at least in front of me, like, oh wow, yeah, that's really interesting. And I'm sure maybe when they get in their car and they're home, they're like, what the fuck?
Maybe it's good. It makes them reflect on it.
Yeah.
Like, they have to think about something that wasn't their experience.
Love giving someone a perspective that they've maybe never had before, or like considered.
Didn't ask for,
unsolicited.
I mean,
but I think that sums up kind of who we are.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not out here like hate speeching.
No.
Like, not judging others
for
their decisions or things like that. Like, purely just, I will share and blast my own experiences. And if it does involve someone else, I'm not blasting that other person.
Yeah.
Like, I'm purely talking about it. And I think we're both like that
in
the sense of that's how we're open.
And I think to build on that, like, there might be times where we are asking questions, but it's with curiosity. Like, I know that in the past, like, I have had conversations with people about like kinks, and it's like, I might not experience it or even know if I'm into it, but I'm not shaming someone else. It's more just like, what is that like? And like, you know, like, why do they like that? And what is the dynamic? Like, that is what it always comes down to, is like the curiosity behind it. So it's not judge, it's a judge-free space, but it's also like, let's talk about the weird stuff, I feel like. So our first segment was, what was I thinking? Each of us discusses a moment where you cringe at your own behavior. Do you have one?
Oh, do I have something? So something that I've been thinking about a lot lately that I actually talked to you a bit was, I had a very cringy moment where it was like one of those times where I crawled into my skin.
Oh no.
You know?
Okay.
And as y'all can see, we're drinking wine right now, and we don't drink a whole lot. However, we are both in a book club, and we don't go outside of the house much for these book clubs, but when we do, we have fun.
Also, your birthday celebration, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, there's that, too. And it was $3 margaritas.
Oof, yeah.
So, yeah, they got us. And something happened within, nothing happened within our friend group, but because I was under the influence, I read a message and completely took it the wrong way. And as soon as I was not under supervision by you or our other friend, I just hit the wall, essentially, and just really told these people that I love very dearly and care about in this group message that I felt some type of way. And I don't know if I was, like, super mean.
Isn't that the one I saw?
Yes.
Can I ask what message it was that like, sent you off? On, like, the
phone. Oh, no. Oh, that's right. I said that wrong. So, it wasn't a message. It was...
what we were talking about?
How a situation happened.
Okay. Let's clarify.
Yeah.
Was the feeling of upsetness whenever we were having a conversation, sitting at the table, and you recognized that in that moment, you weren't invited to that thing?
Yeah. And okay. It wasn't even that I wasn't invited, because I think... internally, what actually happened is I got so upset at myself for not responding to... okay, let me stop being so cryptic.
I mean, at this point, this thing is not that touchy.
No,
it's not. Well, I didn't mean to invalidate...
No, like, it's not. But this was like, it was one of those moments where I crawled into my skin.
Yeah.
So our book club has now created a game night, yeah. Which is great. Because our club always talks about how at this day and age, like, we need regularly scheduled things to hang out because we can't just do it on the fly anymore.
Yep.
And someone sent a message in that group to arrange all of it, and I just didn't even... like, I remember reading it, but I didn't respond to it. I think I thought I was going to later.
Mm-hmm.
And then... it was the next week where it was, like, the event that I forgot to say that I wanted to be a part of. And so then, whenever we were having the $3 margaritas, that was whenever I found out.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I was under the supervision of Alexis and our other friend. And then as soon as I was not under their supervision and got very kindly added to this game night group chat, I was just being, like, high schooler. I don't know if you would call it high school level. Maybe college level petty.
You really weren't. Also, oh. I will say, though.
Okay.
I was drunk. When you were sending that stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, damn. And yeah. Then I was like, but I was so dizzy that I was like, shit. Like, I don't think I even responded because I was dizzy. So
yeah.
Maybe that was a different perspective. But I did not feel like when I read it.
Yeah.
You were being petty. I did feel like you were like... this sucks, you know?
Yes, yeah. And I did. And I guess because that is so just, like, out of my character normally,
yeah.
That's why I crawled within my skin. Because even the next day, whenever margaritas are worn off, like, I felt like shit. And I remember one of the first things that I wanted to do was send that message, like,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. And everyone, because this group of females is so amazing, everyone was so kind. And I even, whenever the margaritas were in the system, I FaceTimed a sober friend, and she was like, yeah, like, it's a bit much, but, like, it's not a big deal. She had very much, like, the same reaction that you did just now. But still, like, I just think about it, and it makes me cringe that I just, ugh, you know, like.
I get it. But I think from another person's perspective,
yeah.
You handled it very well because, yeah, you said the things that you were like unhappy about
mm-hmm.
not being there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there was feelings of like being left out and like
mm-hmm.
all of that too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then you very responsibly were like, hey, like, I'm sorry I did that. And like, that wasn't really what I wanted to do. And then
mm-hmm.
I feel like everyone was like, it's cool.
Yeah.
Thank God nobody in our group is like an asshole.
Yeah,
know?
That's true.
I mean, I don't think that they would have been, but like,
yeah.
I just hear stories about sometimes like people...
mm-hmm.
you know, like blowing things out of proportion.
Yeah.
And I feel like everyone was like, it's cool. We're
mm-hmm.
good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're doing game night. We
yeah.
did game night. And
yeah.
And now we're going to keep doing it. Like
yeah.
every Wednesday or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it's good. Like, it's all good.
Yeah.
But I understand the feeling of, like, wanting to go die in a hole.
Dude.
But yes. It really, truly wasn't as... Because I feel like you're just mature enough that it wasn't, like, ever that bad, you know? Like, you're just mature enough. So yeah. It wasn't, like... It didn't dissolve into, like, chaos.
Right. Thank goodness. Because, man... Like, I think about whenever I was younger and how that could have quickly turned into chaos. Yeah. Just not great. I want to hear about your cringe moment, but can I tell you a secret about that day, too?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was also the day that we said, like, oh, we want to start a podcast and, like, for real start it. Because we had talked about it, like, in passing separately throughout, like, what, over a span of 2 years, something like that?
Honestly.
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
But I was so nervous that after that night... that you were going to be like, I do not want to do a podcast with
her. Oh my God, are you
serious?
She's
just like, too out of there. This is not going to work.
And are you for real?
How could she respond like that? Yes. I was so nervous. So I was so happy whenever you texted me and you were like,
hey. I was wondering why just you didn't text me.
That's why.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's why.
So as soon as you responded, like, the way that I 0.2 second responded back, it was like, oh my gosh, thank God. Yes. Wait, that's please. Hilarious.
Because I literally was like, I in my head, the whole thing I was thinking was like, does she actually want to do this or was it like drunk talking? That's all I was thinking.
I see, and I was like, she probably thinks that it because of my reaction that I had later on in the night.
No. I genuinely was like, are we doing it or were we being like drunk girls like, because we were also like, let's go on a trip, which I'm still down for.
Oh, yeah, same.
And then, like, let's do a podcast. So I was like, is it drunk girl talking or is it, like, we're actually doing this?
Yeah.
And so that's why I was like, if you were serious about doing the podcast,
yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
When are you going to do it?
Uh-huh.
And you were like, yes, I'm serious.
So yeah.
Like, great. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was my secret.
Well, you're fine. Literally, like, this is actually so hilarious because you obviously are, I mean, I do it too. Like, I overanalyze things.
Yes.
To the point of, like, it's actually miserable.
Yeah.
It's, like, debilitating sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so funny because from the outside perspective, that is a blip. That is a the tiniest little blip in my thoughts of what happened in the past week. Like.
Yeah. That's so nice to hear.
Yeah. I think now it's getting a little more ingrained because I'm, like, adding more hooks into, like, you know, like, the brain hooks. They say, like, the more times you, like, think of something or whatever, it, like, adds a little hook in the memory.
Oh.
Or something like that.
It's yeah. Like, it etches in. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I feel like now it's always going to be funny, though. Like,
yeah.
You, like, all of your inside thoughts of, like, what you were feeling. That's
yeah.
So funny.
And who knows? Maybe this wouldn't have started for, like, another year.
Yeah.
Because I just overanalyzed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well... My thing is, so this was, like, probably 2014, 2015.
Okay.
Like, we just graduated high school. I was living in College Station. We lived in the same complex, but not apartment, but I basically lived there. You know how you do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think I was, like, working. I, like, worked at Chipotle at the time.
Oh, my God, that's right. I worked at Chipotle.
Oh, yeah, you did work at Chipotle. Also.
Shout out.
Shout out to.
And feel free to sponsor this.
Chipotle. Oh, my God. Chipotle sponsors are, like, not even made podcasts.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll take it, though, because I still fuck with Chipotle.
Dude, same.
I love Chipotle.
The fact that there's one, because we live very close to
yes.
each other, that there's one so close to us.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Oh, my gosh. I've spent a lot of money at Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chipotle.
Sponsor us. The no names.
Yeah. This random podcast. So, what was I saying? I was in College Station. We basically lived together, but we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I got home from, like, a Chipotle shift or something, and I swear female intuition is, like, magic.
Mm-hmm.
I will never understand the times that it, like, punched me in the gut that, like, something is happening.
Yeah.
So, I think, like, I had texted him. He wasn't responding. That's weird because, like, he didn't have a fucking job. Of course he didn't. He was a drug dealer. That was his job. Well, his mom worked and paid for his whole college experience. Yeah, multiple jobs. But we're not talking about that.
Right.
So, anyway, so I'm like, why isn't he responding? I end up going to his apartment, and I can hear through the door that he's in there. And I can, like, hear the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately sus, right? So I start knocking, and then everything goes quiet. Yeah. And I'm like,
stop. Sus. Like, he was just going to turn all the lights off and just act
I
like.
I guess so. So then, I think I start, like, hey, like, hitting the door.
Police! It's the police! Can you we don't feel that? For real.
And so I, being crazy that I am, thank God he lived on the first floor because I probably would have climbed to the second floor if I had
Oh
to.
My God. Wow,
but I run
that.
To the other side, hop the little balcony fence. And so he has like one of those doors with like, it's all glass, mm-hmm. but he has like a pull down shade.
Oh.
So it's not attached 100% to the door. So his dog, my dog now, because mm-hmm. I kept him after our breakup, starts like, he's so excited that I'm there. He like puts his head in, so he starts wiggling his body because he's a little like mini Aussie.
Yeah.
So he's flapping this thing around. So uh-huh. I can see directly into the living room. I see a girl on the couch.
No.
And him in an armchair, just freaked out looking at the door.
Oh my gosh.
So I, because at that point, I think I'd like knocked and been like calling his name, you know? So I end up hearing the door, the front door close. Like, I guess uh-huh. he, like, I didn't know what was happening. So I hop the balcony thing again,
mm-hmm.
sprint my ass to the other side, come face to face with the girl.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know. I obviously was in shock at this point.
Right.
I can't really remember what happened. I do know for a fact, I asked, like, were you just in that apartment?
Mm-hmm.
And because I am his girlfriend, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else happened. She was freaked out. I do remember that.
Yeah.
She left. So my ex ends up letting me in the apartment the whole, for about 2 hours, mm-hmm. convinces me she wasn't there. And it worked.
What?
It fucking worked. Because I was so desperate to believe it.
Yeah.
For 2 hours. You know that song by Shaggy that's like, Shawty came in and she had me red-handed.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. He did that to me for 2 hours to the point where he was like, that was my roommate. You must have like seen someone else. That must have been a random girl who came around the corner. Like,
no.
I literally was so, is the proper word gaslighting? Like, is that what
yes.
it is?
Yes.
I was so
textbook.
Gaslighted.
This
yeah.
is not educational, but that was.
This is gaslighting. That is how it happened.
Oh.
And so, as I'm sitting there, I'm crying. It's been so long. I get a Facebook message from that girl. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what
yes.
I'm talking about. Yes.
Snaps
the girls
the
for
girls
the girls.
Girls.
Yes.
yes. She's like, hey, he told me whenever you were at the balcony that you were his crazy ex-girlfriend and to leave. And was like, but I just went through all of his social media and saw that y'all are together. I'm so sorry. And basically, like, confirmed she'd been there. Like, they didn't do anything or whatever. But she was like, we were just watching a movie, but he said he wasn't with someone. Like,
mm-hmm.
all these things. So, that is, like, the epitome of breaking boundaries and something so cringe because I stayed with that man. I stayed with that man for another 11 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
wow.
taking a lesson from
mm-hmm.
it is trust your female intuition and don't let that fucking dumbass man gaslight you because you know what you fucking know.
Yeah.
And then leave because he,
yeah.
for what? Why'd I believe it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And the thing that's wild about that scenario is you hear about it on like in all relationships,
yeah.
like from the male doing that to the female. I mean, we've heard of like the female doing that to the male, like heteronormative relationships, gay relationships, lesbian relationships. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
So that's so just those three things. Trust the intuition. If you see someone in the room,
yeah.
it's
like,
probably what you think.
Yeah.
yeah. Believe yourself.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Believe
yeah.
yourself. And also just like, I don't even know. Like, yeah, the gaslighting is crazy, obviously. But like, that was a good, now that I'm where I'm at now,
mm-hmm.
that's crazy that I didn't love myself enough to leave. Because like, at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
in this whole transition, that's what I've been figuring out. Is like, I wanted love more than I loved myself. So I wanted to stick in something that
yeah.
made me feel like this big
mm-hmm.
rather than leave. And that is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy
love is one
girl.
Hell of a drug.
Also, I was 18. And
yeah.
we all do stupid shit when we're 18.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to, like, send love to that girl. No hate to her.
Queen, wherever you are.
Yeah.
Queen. And at 18, too, well, if she was, like, around your age,
yeah.
too. Like, I feel like I wouldn't hear about people doing that, of, like, reaching out to the person that's being cheated on until I was in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
So the fact that, what an OG.
Wait, actually, I have a full circle moment.
Oh?
And I shit you not, I ended up getting dinner with that girl.
Oh my gosh!
At Chipotle. I literally got dinner with her.
It's a full circle.
Which, probably because I got free food there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I worked there.
Yeah.
But I literally sat down at a Chipotle and we talked, like, face to face.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, queen. And you too, queen.
Mm.
You eventually left.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
He left me. But.
But you chose to better your life.
I'm here.
Exactly.
Oh, hello, Tippy Taps. Hello. Ooh, butt to the camera.
Yeah.
Did it.
This is not bestiality.
So handsome. No, I did not leave, but I am setting boundaries now, which is good.
Yeah.
I'm definitely setting boundaries now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we're all just doing the best we can, truly. Do you have a boundary break? An example of a good boundary break? I feel like it could be one of, like, you breaking someone's boundary or vice versa.
I think on a very superficial level, like a small boundary that I think I break more normally than I would like to say that I do. And I feel like it's because it's so normalized, and that's not an excuse for this at all. But there's just something about poking your partner in the butt.
The butt hole?
Yeah.
Okay,
just,
yeah.
Or like a little swipe.
Just credit card swipe it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just so funny to me.
Yeah, honestly.
The reaction's so funny. And this is so terrible, right? This might be a toxic trait of mine. I'll share another in a second here, too. But my... Hi, honey. I know. We're talking about daddy. But my favorite thing is to do that to my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he will tell me time after time to stop. And he'll be nice, you know, and he never raises his voice.
Right.
He never gets, like, aggressive,
right.
Essentially. He's just like, baby, please stop.
Oh,
and he'll be so nice. He'll be
worse.
Like, I've told you to stop a couple times now. I'm like, okay, just because you're so sweet and kind and I love you so much, I'll only do it two more times.
Yeah.
And then I'll stop.
Today,
yeah. And then... it starts over the next day.
The next sleep you wake up, you say, I forgot about that conversation.
Yeah, amnesia.
It's gone.
So that's one that I regularly break.
Mm.
I think on a deeper level, something that I'm not great at is whenever I don't know, I guess like friendships come to mind sometimes. And... I don't want to say I'm, like, picky or particular. Maybe I am picky. Maybe I am particular. I don't know. I feel like you should be with your friends.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. And I am, and I'm selective because it's your space, right? It's,
right.
Like, who you let into your space, like, what energies they bring into your space.
Yeah.
And that has a big impact on you. And I think a lot of my friends are very empathetic, too. And whenever you are super, super empathetic, you just, like, tend to hold on to emotion or, like, other people's emotions easier.
Yeah.
And so I have to be careful about, you know, like, who I let in my space because that's a lot of energy to hold on to and then still have energy for yourself.
Right, yeah.
So I think something that I'm not great at is not... I always know whenever that starts to happen, right? Whenever, like, I've let someone into my space and I'm holding on to a lot more energy than I should, if that makes sense.
I think so.
Okay.
Like, if they're bringing in negativity, kind of?
Yeah. Negativity. Yeah, we can go with that word, negativity. Because I think that can be perceived in a couple different ways. So, you know, whatever you want, whatever that means to you, maybe this will be applicable to you. I don't know. But what I'm really terrible at is I know whenever that boundary has gotten crossed and then I'm scared or nervous to not like shun that person, but I guess just like break up with a friend.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I've ever broken up with a friend before. I don't think I've ever had a serious conversation with someone about like breaking up with them.
Yeah.
I think I've just tended to like shy away.
Yeah.
You know?
You just kind of slowly ghosted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then what's really terrible is I'm bad at texting. Like, I'm bad at responding to people just because I'm not typically on my phone in general a lot.
And I wasn't nodding about that for you. I was like, yeah, you fucking suck.
I agree with me at texting.
I was like, for me? Absolutely. Yeah. But I kind of realized it looked like I was like, no. Yeah, what the fuck is up?
No, I felt it. I felt what you were nodding to. That like, yeah, I also fuck up.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a quick break and let the baby, go P-O-T-T-Y.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, we just took a quick pee break, and now we're back. So College Station.
I want to skip it.
Okay.
It was, in the moment, I was trying to process something of, like, friendships and how it's so interesting that in a breakup, like, whenever I was feeling really sad about not having friends, a lot of it was, like, every time it's because I was dedicating so much effort to my partner. Anyways, I was trying to process that and also play off of how you were saying you choose your friends like really wisely. Yeah. Like you definitely aren't just like friends with anybody. Because yeah, I've had some friends too where it's like they're there and they don't really align with you, so you like want friends and you're like trying.
Yeah.
And it's just not really working out, and that's hard. Because then you still don't really feel like, I guess for me it's always about like the depth. Like, I literally do not know how to be casual with people. I can't. I don't get it.
Now that you mention it, I can see that. But it just, like, it was never off-putting to me. But, I mean, now that I think about it, all of our conversations end up having depth.
I mean, yeah, I literally do not understand how to do it. I think it probably makes people uncomfortable.
Oh, for sure. I can, like, tell, and once again, love it. Love to see it.
See, not me.
Oh.
That's where we're different, because I am, like, if I'm the kind of person that will, unfortunately, adjust my, like, conversation and mood to someone else. Like, and that sucks, because sometimes it's, like, I could be in a good mood, but if, like, if we were having this conversation, you were really upset, I would immediately sober. And, like, obviously there's a part that's just, like, empathy, but it's, like, feeling it. Like, I would be, like, in that emotion with you. And sometimes, like, sometimes that's good, because I can, like, me and Becca always talk about how she has to, like, live through an experience. That's okay.
It's okay. Becca.
Like, she cannot, like, have a full range of, like, emotion about something until she experiences it. Whereas, like, I can. And if she hasn't experienced, like, literally that thing, and I'm not hating on her, but this is something that she told me, and then I started recognizing it. If she hasn't literally experienced it, it's harder for her to be like, oh, that's kind of like the situation. Whereas I feel like I can link something that's completely abstract and, like, feel the way that they feel. Anyways, that was kind of like a random tangent of, like, the, like, leeching of the emotions. Like, if there's negativity, then I feel like I will become more negative, and like it's hard for me to be like who I want to be, because I feel what people are feeling so much. It's very strange.
And that's why it's so important to really be, I guess, like the cliche of like protect your space, but there's actually like some hard truth in that, you know. I think especially as we do get older, I think whenever I was younger, I really like connected to what you said, where I thought like it was okay to have a ton of friends, and not necessarily like I wanted that, but I think, I don't know, like I feel like I just connect with people well, like of all walks of life. And that's been very true since I was young too. A little dangerous, but you know.
Like, I connect with the wrong crowd sometimes.
But then I quickly would just like start, as I got older, I would feel so depleted. And it's just because of like what you said, of just being able to connect with people so easily. Even if you've never experienced that thing, like, no, I can feel that. Like, I feel that in my soul. And that's a lot to hold
on
to.
It's like a blessing and a curse.
Absolutely. Because it really provides like that visibility to people too, whenever they're going through something. Like, if that's their flavor, if like they want someone to sit in that emotion with them, then it's a bit easier for you. Maybe not Becca. No, I'm just kidding. Becca's great.
She's great. And she's very empathetic, which is what's so interesting about that, though.
That's so wild. I would have never guessed that.
No, yeah, she is like 100% empathetic, like very, very emotionally intelligent.
Yes.
But
oh, yeah.
She's got to live through something to, yeah, like fully feel the spectrum of emotions. Really interesting. And I, yeah, like, this is why I can't be casual, because I want to have these conversations. Like, uh-huh, I want to know, what are people thinking? Like, what's their innermost thoughts?
Yes.
What is the thing that, like, yeah, makes them tick? And I love that.
Yeah.
And so it's so hard whenever people, like, even in the dating world now, like, mm-hmm, I'm kind of hesitant about dating the people in our nearest big city, mm-hmm, because they, not all, of course, but mm-hmm, there has been kind of a trend of, like, shallow values a little, mm-hmm, bit more. It's like they're not really looking for, like, being closely oriented with their family, because mm-hmm, they moved away to the big city to, you know, chase their individual dreams. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of this, like, disconnect to people that I've noticed. And it's, like, easier, it seems, to have so many options when you have so many options that you, mm-hmm, can disconnect from people and not really invest in, like, relationships, because there's always greener grass. And so that's kind of, like, been, I don't know, this is like I just took a real hard right, but, like,
it's fine.
It's very interesting to see even, like, that difference of, like, we live in a smaller town. There's a larger city nearby that's, like, the options are so much more vast. It almost, like, changes how people interact with each other, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Random tangent, but, like, that has been something that I've really been trying to figure out. Is it city life? Is it me? But, like, in the dating world, it's, mm-hmm, so hard for me to be casual that I'm like,
yeah,
what are your biggest goals and dreams?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you tick? And they're,
mm-hmm,
like, what's your favorite color? Like, blue? Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's weird.
I mean, I think that's just maybe not your person.
No.
Like, yeah. Like, you want someone, if you're going to dive in, hopefully they dive in too. And if they don't, like, that's okay. That's just not their style, and maybe that's just not for you, you,
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
No. But I guess until you realize that, not you, but speaking to, like, the more general you, like, until other people realize that, that's how you get, like, stuck in those relationships,
yeah,
you know? Or, like, kind of hope that something is going to change, mm-hmm, or that something will be different. And I feel like, personally, like, that's one of the worst feelings, because then it's just like, okay, it's been 5 years now, like, when is it,
mm-hmm,
when is it gonna happen?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you believe in attachment styles? Like, is,
yeah,
that a thing?
Oh, 100%.
So,
yeah,
I've heard, like, different things that,
okay,
like, some therapists, mm-hmm, are like, hardcore attachment styles are real, and then some are like, no, it's like more, it kind of just, like, depends on the situation. It's sort of, like, not really so, like, hard and fast.
Yes. So I think I kind of fall more in the middle.
Okay.
Because I do believe in attachment styles. And we all develop attachment styles at a very, very young age. Like, it's, mm-hmm, quite literally in our child development. Like, from baby to infant, or whatever, the infant to baby to toddler to whatever. However, attachment style I view as more of a spectrum. So there's 4 different attachment styles. There's 3 organized attachment styles and 1 disorganized attachment styles. The 3 organized are secure attachment, anxious avoidant, and ambivalent. And then there's disorganized, which kind of has, you may see, like, flavors of each style.
Hmm.
But all of that to say, no matter what attachment style you have, it can always change.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a secure attachment style as a baby, but based on your experiences, if you just had really impactful experiences, if you had traumatic experiences, then your attachment style can change.
Mm-hmm.
And same for the anxious, avoidant, ambivalent, and disorganized. You can have really, really great experiences that shift your brain chemistry and your neural pathways, and then you can go into what we call earned secure. So it's really a spectrum. And even once you reach earned secure, that's not to say that you're there forever. It can always still ebb and flow. I mean, I think about, like, grief or, like, losing someone, you know, especially if it's the person that you felt the most attached with, that can absolutely shift your attachment style too.
Yeah. Okay, so you think it's definitely real.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of validity to it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking a lot about attachment style because I'm, like, very certain I had an anxious attachment style.
Mm.
But then I wonder, like, how situational was it? Because I don't feel like I have anxious attachment styles to other people. But to that person I did, because, I mean, obviously there was a lot going on there that, like, contributed to that. So now it's interesting to know, like, I don't know, I'm, like, really trying to be like, okay, then how do I set boundaries so it doesn't happen again and, like, all of that. But I don't know, it's weird when, like, and I mean, they say, you know, to the person, like, your husband maybe sees the worst of you because, like, he's around you all the time. And you don't act that way to other people, you know? So then it's like, well, is it just that relationship? Is it showing up in other ways? Like, this is an interesting, like, time for me to kind of figure that out, because I also didn't realize that I was probably codependent because of his, like, substance abuse, basically. Chemical dependency is what it was called in the book that I read. And, yeah, it's just interesting how, like, the attachment styles, the, like, learning about yourself, all of these things are... sorry, there's a hair on my face somewhere. I keep trying to get it casually. It's not casually coming off. So I'm just, like, about to... Anyways, it's just interesting to, like, think about this, because now I'm, like, in a space where it's, like, I'm having to confront it a little bit more. But, yeah, I kind of wanted to know your perspective, because some people were like, so do you just go around evaluating everybody's attachment style?
Absolutely not. That would be so much work. Unpaid work? No, absolutely not. No, but I mean, like, if there's, I don't know, just, like, certain things, or, like, if there's certain reactions, I don't, like, not even diagnose, you can't diagnose an attachment style, but I don't, like, name it, but I'm just like, like, I wonder what your childhood was like, or I wonder what your relationships are like with the people close to your life. But also, something that I think can be confusing, too, if, like, we are thinking about what our attachment style is that every single person has their own attachment style too. And sometimes they, like, butt heads, essentially. So dependent on that other person's attachment style and whatever your attachment style is, like, it might actually benefit, but then there may be times where it, like, clashes a bit too. So that can feel confusing if you're, like, really thinking about your attachment style. So for anyone out there that is curious about your attachment style, I highly recommend that you figure it out or do a test whenever you are, like, super calm and maybe not really stressed out, or don't have super, 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 super not great impactful experiences going on.
I wonder if there's a test.
There is.
Like, online, like Google, like... free attachment self-quiz or
something. Oh yeah, okay. There's tons. There's a, like, actual assessment, there's a short form assessment, and then there's, like, different websites. I have a couple, I can give them to you.
We can also put it in the show notes, because we're so professional now. So far, I've talked about a book called Codependent. Maybe we can put that in the show notes, and then also...
we'll link it in the description.
Yeah. Fancy as fuck. and then also, maybe we can find, like, a decent free test.
Yeah.
For people.
I mean, I literally have, like, four off the top of my head.
Great.
Love for that. Different ages, too. But again, this is not for kids. However, if you have kids or teenagers, one of these styles, one of these assessments might be for them.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Cool. But don't diagnose your kids. Don't.
Take them to a trained professional. Yeah. That is not us. That is not you.
Yeah. Because once again... this is not therapeutic advice.
No.
This is us spewing out of our mouths.
I was going to say assholes, but I
and our assholes.
Yeah, I'm going to be spewing out of my asshole because of this nasty-ass fucking drink.
This is terrible.
I've taken a couple
and
sips.
And it smells horrendous.
Why does it kind of have, like, a pickle juice flavor? Do you notice that?
No, no, no. I do.
You know what I mean?
Oh, God. Like, it's just not.
Like, jalapeno juice and straight, terrible house liquor.
No tea, no shade to Simply Made, but...
sponsor us.
Sponsor us.
But this fucking sucks.
And also, this is, like, a week old.
Listen,
one of our friends got married not too long ago. Yeah, I guess that's true, but maybe because it has, like, flavoring.
That's my rule.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, go ahead. It doesn't expire.
Listen, again, not advice. People are like, this Simply Made whatever alcohol from 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Get sick immediately.
It was on clearance, I'll say. And now I see why. It was a big bottle for, like, $9.
Yeah, this is why.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird pickle juice.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol. That's super sweet at the same time.
I've been trying so hard to, like, not show it on my face every time that I sip.
When we started, it was wine that looked like that. So it looks like we just refilled up our wine.
No.
And now it's, like...
Tastes like olive juice.
Yeah. Olive juice. That's what it is. Yes. It's not pickle juice.
No, it tastes 100% like olive juice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, gross. When you're down bad and the only thing open is Walmart.
Yep.
Where'd you get this?
Walmart.
There you go. When you're down bad.
Down bad.
And you wanted liquor, you can't.
I will never go to the clearance aisle of the alcohol section of Walmart again.
Yeah. Honestly, questionable choice.
It was.
I don't think I've ever bought clearance Walmart alcohol.
I wasn't even down bad for this. I was like, this looks like fun.
Mm. It is fun.
Mm. Based on what kind of fun you're trying to have.
Toxic traits.
Oh, yeah.
What are your toxic traits? The swiping of the asshole.
Yeah. So, you experienced one of my toxic traits on your arrival to my house.
Oh.
That, yeah, I think that I can get ready in 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And not just, like, get ready to go run errands, like, full on... get ready. Yeah. Like, I put makeup on, I attempted to dry my hair, and now it's just like a big puff ball.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't start doing that until 7:50.
You said get here at 8.
Yep.
I did.
You
oh
did.
My God.
Yeah, you got here right
you
at
said,
8.
Half my hair is soaking wet, the other half is dry.
And then continued to dry my hair in the kitchen.
In the kitchen. As you
while I was making mac and cheese. And we were talking, drinking wine.
And it was fine.
Just catching up.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
But that's definitely my toxic trait, is I think that I can get ready in 5 or 10 minutes, or I think that I can finish up a task in 2 minutes and then be out of the door, ready to go to, I was going to say gym class, but it is a gym class.
It really is, yeah.
Pilates class, body pump class. Like, I think that I can... be there lickety-split quick, which I'm a little privileged, I guess, because the Pilates studio is 3 minutes away from my house, and then the gym that I go to is 11 minutes away, which doesn't help with my time management skills at all.
Like, I can literally be there lickety-split.
Yeah, lickety-split. So if I need to be there at 5:25 in my pea brain, I'm like, oh, well, I can leave at 5:23 and it'll be fine. No. And then it's terrible. I'm running in the middle of the class. I'm getting the equipment. And then I'm out of breath and still having to do the workout.
And everyone is on the machines looking at you. The reformers. Like.
Yeah. Oh, the Pilates ones. If I'm late, I won't go.
Oh, really?
I refuse to walk through that studio with my tail between my legs.
Yeah, the aisle. You have to walk all the way to the back to get the weights, too.
Yeah.
You have to get weights.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then find your machine.
Yeah.
And then awkwardly lay down. Everyone's just like, this bitch is late.
Yeah. And try to figure out what the heck everyone's doing. I'm new to Pilates, so, like, I don't know a lot of the moves either. Ooh. It's rough. I'm surprised I haven't hurt myself yet. I almost hurt myself today.
Really?
Yeah, I had to do this one thing. Quick rant, tangent. There was this one thing. So we're on the reformers, and we have this ball, and it's the cardio one.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
there's like a board right here. Gosh, I just laid one. There's a board, and you like push off and jump, essentially.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So not only that, but this is an advancer class.
Okay.
It was a level 1.5 for my Pilates girlies out there and boys. But there is no level one of it. They just don't have it.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why. Because I could have broke something. So we had a ball in between our ankles. And we have to jump. While we're jumping up, we're supposed to switch the ball to our hands and land. And then jump and put it in our feet.
Yeah, that's
and
a lot land. Of movement.
And I could not do it. So I just started doing this instead, keeping the ball in my hand. Hi, Roscoe. And apparently that's called an air jack. So then after that, she says, okay, now we're going to do air jacks. And she explains it, and it's exactly what I'm already
She's
doing.
She's been doing this for so long.
Yep. So, oh my gosh. That was terrifying.
So and that's why I don't like the cardio class.
Yeah.
It's because to me, the cardio class is stressful as fuck.
Yeah.
You got to do shit midair.
Oh.
So one time they made us jump and throw the ball and catch it.
Yes. Yeah, no, we were supposed to do that too. I refuse to do it.
Yeah.
I can't jump and not look at my feet. So yes. The whole time I'm doing lower abs.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching and all these other great, amazing women are just doing it and not looking. I'm like, are you not terrified that you're about to snap your ankle?
Yes. Like, and, or miss the board.
Yes, and I'm the youngest in these classes too. Good for them.
Good for them.
I aspire to be like them one day.
Yeah.
But Pilates honestly does, that class terrifies me.
Yeah. I feel like I'm either going to jump too far mm-hmm. and slam into the back.
Yeah.
Or my legs are going to somehow tall. Magically. Yeah. So and when I jump, I feel like I'm already halfway there.
Just going to ping pong.
Literally.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And does like slam into something or like mess something up. Mm-hmm. I want to die. I want to die for them. I'm literally like, I know you're embarrassed. I don't even care because I don't care. Mm-hmm. But like, I know you care. So now I have to fucking care.
Yeah.
And that's miserable. But I never want that to be me either. So I'm always like super careful.
Mm-hmm.
But not anymore. I quit because now I go to the gym. But like.
Yeah. For quitting. Do it.
Quit Pilates.
Or anything else that you want.
Honestly. It actually was like one of my big changes has been to like quit doing shit that fucking stresses me out.
Yes.
Why do I do so much shit mm-hmm. that fucking stresses me out?
Yeah. What do you have to prove
literally.
To anyone or yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, I'm happy mm-hmm. to do those things because it's like, I want to have physical health. I want to eat well. But like, I feel like my cortisol levels were always so high because I was always forcing myself to be productive, go to the gym, take the dogs on a walk. Like every day I had this like literal impossible laundry list of things I had to get done. And then I would be like, oh my God, I only accomplished 5 of the 10 that I feel like I have to get done. So now I have to carry them over and like feel like I have to double it the next day. And that's literally not possible. Like eventually you just feel like shit.
Yeah.
So I in this season of life is, I don't give a fuck. I'm just lowering my cortisol levels.
Wow.
I don't give a fuck about anything right now.
That's right. Drop them all. All the F-bombs.
F-bombs. And fuck feelings. Fuck. But like, it's actually been really nice because I feel like getting rid of the relationship has given me so much time that it's like, I have so much time to do things I want and it doesn't have to be like being productive.
Mm-hmm.
But then now I'm almost finding myself being productive because I'm not stressed about it. So like today, I took my dogs on a walk.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the gym. Mm-hmm. I worked on my book. I worked full time at my fucking 9 to 5.
Yeah.
We're literally recording a podcast right now.
Yeah.
My house is relatively clean. I made time to paint this like adult paint by numbers thing, which is really fun. Like,
I don't know if you already said this, but also throughout the day, like we were talking and planning this, you created a, not just one, but 4 different things that y'all will see soon.
Yeah. It's weird, like lowering my stress and also not having to worry about somebody's son
you know,
has really given me so much fucking time.
Wow, what a concept.
Oh my God, it's like so nice.
Yeah.
Actually, time for myself.
Oh my gosh. So would you say that's like a toxic trait to yourself? Because I've never thought about it in that way, but I guess like stressing about, like for what? For what? You know?
Yeah, 100% toxic trait. Feeling like I always need to be productive.
Yeah.
Like not being able to watch a show because God forbid it is for pleasure and leisure and not productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And like I think about just like our jobs too. We want to be so good at whatever we're doing. We want to be the best at it. We want to be the most efficient. And I think that also just comes from like how women have had to get where they are in the workplace. And now like you can statistically see the shifts that like women are actually taking more leadership roles than men.
Have more education. Tend to be actually like rated higher in corporate settings, at least for leadership.
Yeah.
Like so many fucking things.
Yeah. But it's like we still almost have it stuck in us that like we still need to prove something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ladies, we've made it.
Yeah,
but we still do it. Still do the things.
Well, and also there's a book called How Women Rise. We'll
in the description.
We'll put it in the description. And it talks a lot about how like women are such hard fucking workers, but we still aren't always achieving the things that we're supposed to achieve because we're working in like this kind of male-dominant society. So even though we have made it, we are, you know, like, inventing shit. We're great, and we are CEOs. We're doing all the things.
Mm-hmm.
We had to do all of our great accomplishments in a society we didn't get to be a huge part of building.
Mm-hmm.
And so it talks a lot about how women are overlooked a lot because we aren't performing in ways that men expect necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we might be overlooked, and a man who is lesser mm-hmm. in the performance, you know, situation,
yeah.
not in general, you know, not trying to just...
These shit-ass men.
These shit-ass men
just
who are lesser.
We are both into men.
So. Yes. Honestly, who knows at this point?
Hey.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyways,
okay.
We got to, like, kind of work the system a little bit, but...
Yeah.
Then we can achieve, I think, even more because we just have to learn the system.
Yeah. Or if we do decide that we want to put more on our plate, because maybe capacity-wise you can, having the conversation of, I need to be properly compensated then.
Yeah.
You know? And that's something that I think women have shied away from as well, because that also goes into that, like, historical context of, like, women just kind of obey and submit instead of, like, demand or command a room, which
mm-hmm.
I think you see more of today. But once again, easier said than done,
right.
You know?
We're raised to be
mm-hmm.
a certain way. And, like,
right.
obviously not every single person,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like there is kind of this general idea of, yeah, you obey. You have to be, like, passive and happy and
mm-hmm.
go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Be chill. Be there for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not here for you, which is really weird. So weird.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, the only person that we really have in life is ourselves. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's the only person that will forever be there for you is yourself. And
yep.
so us not being able to feel like we can take care of ourselves is actually wild.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
And you're with yourself 24/7.
Yeah.
You don't get to escape yourself.
No.
So whatever cortisol level you're at, whatever unresolved feelings you have, like, gotta work through that shit, sis.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you're pro-therapy.
Yeah, you know. I will say, although I'm a therapist, I am the worst client.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why?
Rather listen to other people's feelings than talk about my own. It just felt safer to me, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Which.
So you can't talk about your own feelings?
I can now.
Okay.
I can now.
I'm
and
like
I feel...
You, I feel like you talk about your feelings.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, I do. But going into my master's program, that was like a big bit of how I felt. And I actually ended up like going to therapy while I was in my master's program. But believe it or not, at least in my experience, I don't know what the research says about this, but I'm sure there's stuff out there. But in my experience, that's how a lot of my colleagues were as well.
Hmm.
We were so good at empathizing and listening to other people, but we would have such a hard time actually talking about our feelings, or we would justify if we had, like, not great feelings, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I've gone to therapy. I am obviously pro-therapy, but until really my master's program, I had tried therapy before that. And I was just like, I was the worst client. I would end up ghosting my therapist. I would just like shut down on some therapist, or like they would say something and it just really wouldn't align with how I felt. But because I had such a hard time talking about my feelings, I wouldn't tell my therapist that, which is nothing wrong with that therapist, but how are they gonna know how to navigate my feelings if I'm not, you know, as
yeah.
forthcoming as I could be. I wasn't ready for therapy in those moments. But once I was in my master's and kind of knew, I had a bit more knowledge of, like, how therapy can be beneficial. Not only that, but also just, like, the most ideal client, you know? Like, I knew what I wanted. I guess not what I wanted in a client. But, yeah, I wanted someone to share their feelings, you
mm-hmm.
know? And you're going to have times where there is resistance. Like, I think that's just normal. With strangers.
But you knew what an ideal client might look like, and so you were able to
yes.
kind of like mirror that maybe?
It was a bit, because it put the, I guess, like, human side back into the person that is your therapist is also a human, having
mm-hmm.
human reactions and thoughts just like how you are. And so whenever I was kind of able to view a therapist more as a human rather than like this expert, all-knowing
really?
Person, it helped me to be like, oh, this is just someone like me. And I think there was a lot of other things too that played into that, where I just like quite literally didn't connect with my therapist, which is also very normal. I tell my clients that finding a therapist is a lot like finding a hairdresser or a barber. If you get your hair done one time by this person and you don't like it, are you never going to go and get your hair cut again? Are you never going to go to a barber? Probably not. You know, you might try to do it yourself too, and that might not be great. Or you may learn and you may do research and find your own ways of doing things too. But all that to say is, you know, it's just like whoever you connect with, and it's okay to try different therapists.
Yeah. That's so interesting that you struggled with your feelings.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's, I wonder, I don't know. That's just crazy. That's just literally crazy to me. Because I feel like you're very open about like how you feel and things and
therapy.
Yeah.
It'll do it, man.
Yeah. And probably maturity too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Brain development.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always a plus.
Yeah.
I feel like we covered so much.
I know. I think so, too. Do we want to do a wrap-up?
Yeah. Let's do a wrap-up.
Okay. How do we do that? This is fun.
This
one. Besides the really shitty whatever Simply Made drink this was.
Yeah. This was fun. We covered a lot of topics.
Yeah.
Everything from trauma dumping my stories about my ex.
Yeah.
To then going to therapy and how we have gotten better as individuals.
Yeah, we really covered a lot of topics. I hope it's coherent. I hope you guys like this. I don't know if it'll any of this better. Will... Yeah, it'll get better. Hold on to hope. Yeah. What we literally talked about not doing. But we're different.
Yeah.
Also toxic. Not that we are toxic, but if you hear someone say that, that's probably a little toxic. Who knows? Not professional opinion.
This was our first time. We did a good job.
Yeah, I think so too.
We talked about things that were, maybe interesting to us at least.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Very interesting to us.
I think I need to work on not fucking saying the most random shit.
No, you I did love a good it. Job. No, I love that. I think that adds character to it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just went on random tangents.
That's always my favorite part about podcasts, whenever they do that.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And I think there's other people like me.
Because there were a couple times as I was speaking, I was like, shut the fuck up.
No. Whenever you were saying that, I was like, wow, she's so good at this.
Okay.
Yeah.
It makes me feel better. I feel like you were good at this.
Oh.
Because I feel like you, like, kept circling it back to the actual fucking point. Which was really great. I was like, oh, yeah, that's what the fuck we were talking about.
No, I think I'm good at, like, keeping us on track. But, again, I like the character that it adds to go on those tangents. Because even whenever, like, you go on the tangent, it's relevant to what we're talking about. Yeah. So,
yeah. Thanks for the reassurance.
Yeah, of course. So, we don't know what we're going to talk about next week. Or I guess in 2 weeks. I think we're going to try to have a video out every 2 weeks. You can find us on all social media platforms that are linked in the description. Hopefully, we'll have a website of some sort. That might be a couple months down the road, but we're going to manifest it. I'm That'll speaking it into existence.
So I guess that's all for tonight.
What is this, business casual?
I don't know how to... I can't... I'm either apparently professional or absolutely
really
not.
Fucking casual. Well, we hope that you enjoyed this and that you do tune in 2 weeks to catch our next one. This was Feelings and F-Bombs. Yeah. I'm Madeline.
I'm Alexis.
And we'll see you next time.
Toodles.
Bye. Woohoo! That was good. Yeah! Crushed it!